Well, it's our pleasure to have a maker right here. She makes stories. Hi, Mary.
Hello. Good morning.
This is Mary Morgan Smith. It's so good to see you. I haven't had a chance to see you in a while. She's a librarian, which is a good thing. Don't tell anybody.
No.
It's good. Librarians don't say shh too much anymore.
Only to their children.
How long have you been a librarian?
40 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And Yeah, 40 years.
That's a job I sometimes think I would really enjoy.
Oh, it's
doing.
Fun. It's a perfect job for somebody who is a generalist. Yeah, if you absolutely love one specific thing in the world, that probably won't be too great for you. But if you like a little bit of everything, oh yeah.
And I still, I have numbers of public libraries memorized because it's not, and people think, they sometimes look at me like I'm crazy, but if I'm driving somewhere, and if I need to know the answer to something, I'll just call, you know, and say, hey, can you tell me roughly how many fire hydrants there are in Pittsburgh? And somehow somebody will know that kind of answer. And I know Google is there for those sorts of things, too. But quite often, it's knowing some of those obscure things and where to find them.
Well, that's the thing about being a librarian. It's not what you know, it's how to find that information. And we use Google too, but we're also a little bit more aware of the possibilities of misinformation. And we don't like to give out misinformation.
You know, I had a neat experience with, I forget, are you at Northland?
Or
yeah. And this was with Carnegie Library in Pittsburgh. But I read a lot of books using the OverDrive application,
yes,
which is a way a lot of folks don't, you may not know this, meaning you, not Mary, she certainly knows, but you can read, you know, Kindle books and other forms of ebooks absolutely free. You can borrow them from the library and read them, and the easiest free application to do that is one called OverDrive. And I was using OverDrive, and it wasn't working properly. And I called the library and actually emailed them, because you figure if it's an email or electronic service, that's probably a good way to talk about it using the same method. And the person was very concerned, and she wrote back, and she did some testing and checking. And then I further did some additional checking, and she and I must have gone back and forth for, you know, nine emails. And we eventually reached the conclusion that it was a particular app update on a particular kind of phone that had caused it. But she, and I wish I could remember her name, wanted to get to the bottom of this almost as much as I did, because she said, I immediately want to share this with every library, because as people have these problems, now they will know exactly what it is. And that's an unusual kind of dedication, really.
Well, one of the things about being a librarian is there are a lot of different kinds of librarians. My husband's a librarian, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He's at University of Pittsburgh, and he does a very different kind of librarianship from what I do. I work in a children's department, and while sometimes it seems as though what we do more than anything else is tell children to slow down. And I have I'm trying to figure out how they can say so many children are having weight problems because they do not exercise enough. Because every child that comes into that library is doing it full speed ahead. So they've got to get their exercise somewhere. But it's good to be a ferret if you're a librarian.
A ferret?
A ferret. Yeah, you determined and keep digging.
Mm. Now, your husband does not have to tell children to slow down.
No, not since ours grew up.
Well, we're here. It's always good to talk about library science and librarians and applications. But there's a lot of people that manage collections of stories, those that are in their heads, those they've learned over the years, through the ages, and Mary is one of those, and the Three Rivers Storytelling Festival, the 15th year, is getting underway this week. There's some special advanced events. And in fact, why don't we talk about those first? There's one coming up very soon.
Tuesday. The Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership always has something going on in Market Square on Tuesdays. And we are partnering with them this coming Tuesday. And we will actually have two professional storytellers there. One is Tim Hartman, who is pretty well known in the Pittsburgh area. He's nationally respected, but he's a hometown boy.
Yeah, Tim is an amazing actor, storyteller, also a cartoonist. And you'll recognize him. He's the one that is very tall. And, you know, I think if Tim were performing in Market Square right now, even though we're about 2 miles away or so, we'd probably hear him without a microphone.
Yeah, he's got a good voice. But the other person who's going to be there is one of our featured tellers, and that's Alton Chung. He is from the Pacific Northwest, and he is a marvelous storyteller. And he is going to be telling stories in Market Square on Tuesday for free. And that's a really special thing that you can't get just anywhere.
That's terrific. What are the hours?
The hours are 10 to 11:30 a.m. on Tuesday, August 4th.
How nice. You can take a coffee break from work, go down there at 10, and when you come back a little late from your break, you'll probably be inspired enough to tell a story as to why you were held up. You'll be given some ideas.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because a lot of people assume that storytelling stories are for kids. And most of the time they are. But if it's a good story for kids, adults should enjoy it too. Otherwise, it's not that good a story.
Well, and there's great stories, too, that describe, you know, the human condition from the perspective of adult, and that kids also really adore.
So,
It's a nice thing. So that's coming up on Tuesday.
Yes.
And then the festival starts Friday night.
Well, that's the official start of the festival, but we actually have an event also on Friday morning for children. And that is our partnership with the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh. And it will take place, excuse me just a moment, I am a librarian, I didn't memorize it, I just brought it with me, at the Carnegie Library Lecture Hall. And that is Friday, August 8th, from 10 a.m. to noon. It's open to the public. It's free, but we do ask that you do register for it, just so that we have a fair idea of how many people are coming.
And you can go to the numeral 3rstf.org. I don't know what happens if you don't use the numeral, but 3, probably nothing. The numeral 3rstf.org. I don't mean type T-H-E-N-U-M-E. I mean make that Arabic 3, rstf.org, to get details and also a link to make that reservation.
Yes.
And that performance is sponsored by the Grable Foundation.
Yes, it is. That's my next thing.
And then Saturday and Sunday, that's Friday night, Saturday and Sunday at the North Campus of Winchester Thurston.
Basically, it's Friday night and all day Saturday. Most of it is at Winchester Thurston.
Oh, right. There's no Sunday. I'm forgetting.
No, that's just one special master class for people who are not totally exhausted. But we also have some things going on at the Depreciation Lands Museum in Hampton, because we're working with them as well. And that's where our senior lunch is taking place on Friday, and where we have a couple of workshops.
Wow. Lots going on.
Oh, yeah.
And you can get the whole schedule at 3rstf.org. Did you bring a story with you?
Oh, gee, let me think. Yeah.
Did you? Would you
like? Give me an excuse to tell a story. Any excuse.
Well, I would love to hear one.
Okay.
I'm going to disappear, and you and I are both going to listen to Mary Morgan Smith.
Well, actually, this particular story, I was listening to you on the way into the studio, and was it Brock who wrote the story about the bear? I have a story that involves a bear. It's a very old story from Appalachia, and it's called Sody Saleratus. Now, the first thing I usually have to do is explain what on earth Sody Saleratus is. And very often when I'm in a group with kids, somebody will be able to figure it out, because it's used in baking, and it makes things rise, and it's not yeast. And most kids probably have it at home in the pantry, and it may be in a big gold box. Because Sody Saleratus is just a very old-fashioned way to say baking soda. But it sounds neater, I think. Well, one day, a boy and a girl were visiting their grandparents. And their grandma was a really good baker. She was the kind of person that when she brought things to church, bazaars, everybody lined up just waiting for her to arrive. But her specialty were biscuits. Now, when I make biscuits, I usually go to the store and I get a little tube wrapped in blue paper and I open it up and separate them and put them in the oven and bake them. And they actually are pretty good. But when they're made by scratch from the very beginning with flour and sodium saleratus, they are often really good. And that was what she would make. And so for her grandchildren, she was going to make some biscuits. Now, there was Grandma. Grandpap was there too, and a little boy and a little girl, and their little pet squirrel. But when Grandma went to make the biscuits, she didn't have any sodium saleratus. Now, they couldn't just hop in the car and run down to the supermarket because it was a long time ago. They didn't have a car, and the closest place to buy it was in town at the general store. So the grandmother looked at her grandson and said, "Boy, here's a quarter." You can tell how old this story is. "Here's a quarter. You go into town to the general store and you get me some sodium saleratus and you bring it right back here and I'll make some biscuits. Now remember, you don't go anywhere except to the store and back here. No fooling around, no going to visit with friends, no stopping at the library. You just have to come straight back here." And he said, "Yes, ma'am." And he took the quarter and he walked into town. Along the way, he had to cross a little footbridge. And when he was walking across the footbridge, it felt a little odd, but he looked around. He couldn't see anything wrong, so he kept going. Got to town, got to the general store, and said, "Can I have some sodium saleratus, please? My grandma gave me a quarter." And the storekeeper looked at him and said, "Is your grandma making biscuits?" "Yes, sir." "Well, then, you make sure that she saves one for me. I'll go get you your sodium saleratus." And he did. And he brought it back in a little poke bag. This is my other word that I usually have to explain. A poke bag basically is a brown paper lunch bag because you poke stuff in it. So he took the quarter. The boy took the sodium saleratus in the little poke bag, and he started on home. And remembering what his grandma had said, he did not stop anywhere. He waved to a couple of friends, but he kept on going. Now, when he got back to that footbridge again, when he stepped onto that bridge, this time up rose a great, huge bear. And the bear said, "Who's that walking across my bridge?" And the boy just looked around and said, "It's just me. I just got some sodium saleratus from my grandma." And the bear said, "Huh. Well, it's lunchtime. I'm hungry and I'm going to eat you." And gulp, he swallowed him down whole. So the boy didn't get home. And grandma's waiting for her sodium saleratus. And she's getting a little bit annoyed. So finally, she says to her granddaughter, "Girl, you go after your brother and you bring him back here with the sodium saleratus. If you have to, drag him by his ear." And the boy's sister was so happy to hear that because her brother was in trouble and she got to drag him back and tell him how much trouble he was in. So she started off to look for her brother. And she went down the path, under the road, onto the bridge. She got about the middle of the bridge when up rose that great huge bear. And the bear said, "Who's that walking across my bridge?" And she said, "It's just me. I'm just a little girl. I'm looking for my brother. He was maybe coming along this way."
"Oh, yeah. Had a little poke sack. Yeah, I know him. I ate him. And I'm going to eat you, too."
And gulp, he did. So back at the house, Grandma by now has gone past being annoyed. She is getting downright angry and thinking she's not going to let those kids have any of the biscuits at this point. But she still needed her sodium saleratus. So she said to her husband, "Dear, would you please go after those kids? I don't know what's keeping them, what's wrong, but I can't do anything until I get the sodium saleratus." Now, while her husband loved her dearly, one thing that had first brought her to his attention and which he had learned to appreciate greatly over the many years of their marriage was her biscuits. And he's waiting for a biscuit. So he says, "I'll go get them." And he starts down to town. When he gets to the bridge, you can see a pattern here, right? When he gets to the bridge, up rose the great huge bear, and the bear looks at Grandpa and says, "Who's that walking across my bridge?" And Grandpa says, "It's just me. I'm just looking for my grandkids. You seen them around here anywhere?"
"Yeah, I saw them. Little girl, little boy with a little poke sack. Yeah, I ate them. I'm going to eat you too." Cool.
And he did. Not very polite table manners, but... So, back at the house. Grandma's still waiting. She's got her big old crockery bowl out. She's got the flour out. She's got the buttermilk standing by. No sooty saleratus. So she says, "Well, I guess I better go after him and see what on earth is keeping these people." So she grabbed her shawl, put it on, and started on the road herself. When Grandma got to the bridge, she stepped onto the bridge, and up rose the great, huge bear. And the bear said,
"Who's that walking across my bridge?"
And she looked at the bear, and she said, "I'm Granny. I'm looking for my husband and my two grandkids. You seen them around here anywhere?"
"Yeah, I saw them. I ate them, all three of them. I'm going to eat you, too."
Oh, and he did. Oh, dear. I just killed everybody off. Who can save the day? There was one person left, the squirrel. And he loved biscuits, too. And he was running back and forth on the mantelpiece going, "Where is everybody? I want my biscuits." "Well, I guess if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself." And the squirrel hopped down off the mantelpiece and headed off towards town. When the squirrel got to the bridge, he put one little furry squirrely paw on the bridge, and up rose the great huge bear. And the bear looked at the little bitty squirrel, and he said, Squirrel said, "I'm looking for my family, two old people and two kids. You seen them around anywhere?"
"Yeah, I did. I ate them. I'm going to eat you, too."
The squirrel said, "No, you ain't." And the squirrel started to run. Squirrels are fast. They can run really fast. Bears can run pretty fast, too. And the bear was starting to catch up to the squirrel. The squirrel just ran up a tree. It's what squirrels do naturally. He forgot bears can climb trees. And so the bear followed him. The squirrel was getting pretty high up and running out of tree, and he looked around, and he saw another tree about 15 feet away. And he thought, okay. And he jumped from the tree he was on to that other tree. And the bear looked and watched him do that. The bear said, "Well, if he can do that with his little bitty legs, with my big, fine, strong legs, I can do it too." And so the bear jumped. This is where we pause for a little lesson in physics. Bears are much bigger and have greater mass than squirrels do. They do not jump near as far. So the bear got about halfway between the two trees when he ran out of jump and gravity kicked in. Bear hit the ground and broke wide open. And out jumped Grandma, Grandpa, little girl, and the little boy. And the little boy was still holding his little poke sack of sooty saleratus. And before they left, Grandma grabbed the bear, pulled him off to the side, sat down on a log. She had been a Girl Scout at one point, so she always had her sewing kit with her. And she sat down there, and she stitched that bear back together, smacked him upside the head, and said, "Now, bear, you better pay attention here. I want you to go away. Don't ever come back here. And if I ever hear about you bothering human beings again, I'm going to send the squirrel after you." And so the bear took off, and as far as I know, he never did go back anywhere near there and has not bothered any human beings. And when the family went home, Grandma made her biscuits. And when they come out of the oven, they were golden brown, and they smelled so good, and she broke one open. You could see the steam rising from it. She put a pat of butter on it, put a little honey on it, and she gave it to the squirrel. And that's a story from Appalachia.
And that was Mary Morgan Smith. I kept thinking we were going to get a bear claw somehow.
Ooh, I may have to do that one sometime. I like that.
That's a great story. We only have about a minute left. Yeah. The Three Rivers Storytelling Festival, again, this coming Tuesday, Market Square starting at 10 o'clock with Tim Hartman. Yep. Then on Friday,
The Carnegie Library in Oakland.
And that's a free concert.
That's free too.
And then Friday night and Saturday. Mm-hmm.
We do charge for that main part of the festival. Yeah. Unfortunately, we had to start charging for it. But it's not that much.
No.
And it's $15 for an adult for the entire weekend. You know, Friday night, all day Saturday night. And $5 for kids 4 and up.
And the place to go for details is 3rstf.org.
You got it.
Thank you. What a great story.
Thanks very much, Larry.
Mary Morgan Smith at the Saturday Light Brigade.